Disciplines equal freedom. Some of you may recognize this sermon title as a book title. Discipline Equals Freedom is a book written by Jocko Willink, which I suppose kind of makes this plagiarism. But Jocko is one of my favorite online personalities. He is a retired Navy SEAL, and he also has a podcast where he talks about his time in the military, as well as his life before and after the military, and what he's learned. Hearing Jocko talk about how discipline leads to freedom kind of got me thinking about it from a spiritual place, of how the spiritual disciplines lead to freedom. Jocko's book, Discipline Equals Freedom, the lesson of it is that self-discipline leads to personal freedom. A spiritual discipline is an implementation of practices and habits that are found in Scripture, used to promote the spiritual growth and advancement of the followers of Christ. John Wesley, the father of the Methodist movement, which we are in right now, described spiritual disciplines as means of grace. A working definition for means of grace are ways God works invisibly in his disciples, strengthening and confirming their faith. There are many spiritual disciplines, but today I'm going to focus on fasting, prayer, and Bible study. I'm going to be using Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 to do so. But before I read the scripture, let's review what happens at the end of Matthew chapter 3. The end of Matthew chapter 3 is where we see Jesus get baptized by John the Baptist. And shortly after that, the Holy Spirit falls on Jesus like a dove. And then we hear the audible voice of God proclaim that Jesus is his son, declare his love for him, and state that he is well pleased with Jesus. And so, now let's read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And while this passage does not expressly say that Jesus was praying during this time, we can assume that he was, because most commonly the Holy Spirit leads us through prayer. Raise your hand if you've ever been led by the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit led me here today. Another example of the Holy Spirit leading me is at a Christian conference called SALT. Now, SALT is a week-long Christian conference for college-age students that happens over New Year's every year. It's a great conference. You go to this really huge hotel, and everything is provided for you in the hotel. You eat in the hotel, you sleep in the hotel, and the worship is also in the hotel. And the worship is just amazing. The band is awesome, and because you're surrounded by a group of your peers that are young just like you are, it's very exciting. Everyone rushes to the front, and everyone's jumping and dancing and screaming and just on fire for the Lord. And so people will show up to worship 30, 45 minutes early just so that they can sit as close to the front as possible. Now, me and my friends were never really ones to show up early to sit in the front, but on the last day, we figured it would be cool on the last night of worship, maybe we could go sit as close to the front as possible. So we showed up like 45 minutes early and played Uno, and then they opened the doors and we ran in and put our Bibles down, and they greeted us, and then the music started playing, and so we all started kind of funneling up to the front, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you got to go to the back. And so I said, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you say, I go to the back. And the first couple of songs were just amazing. I was just worshiping back there, and the Holy Spirit was touching me and really talking to me. And after the second or third song, I felt the Holy Spirit say, good job, you listened to me, but I didn't bring you back here just so that you could sing. And so I started looking around, looked to my right, looked to my left, and in the back left corner of the room, there was a girl sitting in the corner crying. And so I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, you need to go pray for her. And so I said, now I really don't know what I'm doing, but whatever you say, I'll do it. And so I go over there, I tap her on the shoulder, introduce myself, and I ask her if I can pray for her, and she starts crying even harder and says yes. And so I pray for her, I pray a blessing over her. By the time I'm done praying, her crying is slowed down enough to where she can talk to me, and she tells me just what's been going on in her life for the last 8 or 9 months, and it was heartbreaking. And then she tells me she'd been sitting in the same spot every night of this convention, and that she'd been praying to God, if you're real, send somebody to pray for me. And I was the first person that had came and asked to pray for her. And so she recommitted her life to Jesus that night. And it was, I would call that a miracle. And it's all because of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was only leading me when I was listening. You can't step into calling if you never answer the phone. You cannot step into calling if you never answer the phone. We see Jesus pray often in the scriptures. We see Jesus pray over people in Mark 7 when Jesus prays and heals a deaf and mute man. And in Mark 9 when Jesus prays to cast out an impure spirit. We see Jesus pray alone in Mark 1 when Jesus prays in a solitary place. And we see Jesus pray with his disciples in Matthew 6 when he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. It is obvious that prayer is an important part of Jesus' life and ministry. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. That means that we are called to pray daily. And it's not only important to speak to the Lord in prayer, but also to give the Lord time to speak to you in prayer as well. Another good reason that we pray is that when we pray, we are centering ourselves not in the world, but in God. Practicing the spiritual discipline of prayer is one of the ways that we live into the freedom Christ is offering us from distraction. The discipline of prayer, freedom from distraction. Now let's move on to verse 2. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights in a row. And what I can't get out of my mind when I think about this is that Jesus was fully human, meaning Jesus felt all of the hunger, he felt the cramps, he felt the pains, and he kept going. It's also likely true that Jesus drank water during this time, because if he was fully human, which we know he was, he would have had to drink water to survive. And so, be encouraged. When you are fasting, it is perfectly acceptable to drink water or to drink coffee or tea or whatever beverage you enjoy. Did you know that fasting is a spiritual discipline? That means that we are called to fast regularly. Jesus fasted regularly. He also taught his disciples to do so as well. And as Christians, Jesus is our ultimate example. And so we should follow him into fasting just like we follow him into prayer. John Wesley also practiced a regular fast. At some points in his life, one time a week, and at others, twice a week. John, this is one of his many methods, or one of the ways that he earned the name Methodist. But why do we fast? If not to copy Jesus or follow in the footsteps of John Wesley, we do it because fasting is a way to draw near to God, deepen your relationship with him, and seek his help in times of special need. Another reason we fast is because it keeps us rooted in the promises of God. And it does this because every time we feel hungry or we feel cramps, just like Jesus felt while he was fasting, we are reminded that God will provide for us. And I especially am reminded of the ways he's provided for me in the past. But be careful when you fast. Do not make it too difficult for yourself. And remember that you're not fasting to test yourself or to prove yourself to God, but you are fasting to be reminded of the promises of God and to know that the Lord will provide for you. Practicing the spiritual discipline of fasting is one of the ways we live into the freedom Christ is offering us from worrying. Discipline of fasting, freedom from worrying. Now, let's read verses 3-7. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Here we see the temptations of Satan. And in verses 4-7, we see Jesus refuse Satan's temptations. But Jesus doesn't just say no or say, "I know my Father would not be pleased with me if I did that." He quotes scripture. He doesn't try to outwit the devil with his own words. He uses the internal truth and power of scripture to do so. And it might sound silly, but the reason Jesus could quote the scriptures is because he knew the scriptures. And just like we follow Jesus into prayer, we follow him into fasting, we should also follow him into studying our Bible. And a lot of people may say, "Justin, I got my Bible on my nightstand. I can just open it up and find what I need." Or, "I got the Bible app on my phone. I always have my phone with me. I can just find what I need when I need it." And I would say, what good is a sword if you don't know how to use it? And also, reading the words off of a paper or off the screen of your phone is not the same as knowing them in your heart. The thing about reading scripture but not understanding it is that Satan knows the words too, and he will try to misuse scripture to tempt you, just like he does in verse 6 to try and tempt Jesus. The most common example of Satan doing this in our world right now is prosperity gospel. And that is why it's important to be rooted in scripture. Some easy, simple ways to study your Bible are reading your Bible, participating in Bible studies, and even doing your own research. I like to use online tools like Bible Gateway and Bible Ref. Once again, be careful. And remember why you are studying your Bible. You're not studying for your head, but for your heart. Practicing the spiritual discipline of Bible study is one of the ways we live into the freedom Christ is offering us from the lies of Satan. The discipline of Bible study, freedom from the lies of Satan. Self-discipline leads to personal freedom in the same way that the spiritual disciplines lead to spiritual freedom. Practicing the spiritual disciplines of fasting, prayer, and Bible study are a few of the ways we receive the freedom Christ is offering us from worrying, distraction, the lies of the enemy, or anything else that attempts to pull us away from God and his promises. We don't practice the spiritual disciplines to earn relationship with God, but to deepen the relationship we already have with God and to experience the healing, love, peace, joy, and comfort of the Lord. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? God, thank you for this time that we get to spend with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. I pray that everyone was rejuvenated and filled up through this service, Lord, through the worship as well as the sermon, God. I pray that our cups would be overflowing this week, that everyone we talk to and everyone we meet would see the light of Christ shining through us this week, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.